Good afternoon, and welcome to Line One, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your host, Prentice Pemberton. The learning of a profession, skill, or a trade that allows a person to earn a living wage is an important developmental task. For some, that path takes them through high school and on to college. For others who may experience challenges in the traditional high school setting or just have an interest in a particular trade, a vocational program might be a better choice. On today's program, King Career Center Principal Lou Pandolfino will talk about the decision to make King Career Center a full-time high school, and we will look at why some kids struggle in the traditional high school setting. Thanks, Lou, for taking the time to join me today. I appreciate it.
Good to be here, Apprentice.
All right, before we get into the meat of our subject, why don't you take us back a little ways and give us some of your background and how you found your way to, I guess, King Tech is now it's the new official name. But go ahead and give us a little bit of your background.
Okay. I don't know how far back you want me to go, but it was the summer of 1977. I got on the road with my thumb and hitchhiked to Alaska from New York. And that was the year after I graduated high school, and then I would come up to Alaska and work during the summers in Kodiak and then in Nome. And then after I earned my bachelor's degree, I stayed in Nome for 5 years, learned how to build houses before moving down to Anchorage in 87, where I earned my master's degree from the University of Anchorage, Alaska. And got into the teaching profession. Taught for 10 years in middle and high schools and got into administration for a variety of reasons. And so the assistant principal at East High School for 3 years, the principal at Service High School for 7 years, and I've been at King Career Center / King Tech since 2011. So that's my story.
That's a lot of time put in the Anchorage School District. You said you switched from teaching to administration for a variety of reasons. What were some of those? Why admin?
I worked for several different administrators and some that were exemplary and some that were a little less so. And I felt I had an aptitude to become like those exemplary administrators that I worked for and maybe even a better aptitude than I had as a classroom teacher. So I pursued that, and I found it to be a good fit so far.
All right. I want to remind our listeners that this is a call-in show, and we welcome your participation and questions about our topic today. We can be reached in one of three ways. You can call us at our local number. That's 550-8433, or if you're outside of Anchorage, you can reach us on our toll-free number. That's 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to reach us is to email your questions or comments to line1@alaskapublic.org. If you haven't emailed us before, you have to spell out line1, L-I-N-E-O-N-E, @alaskapublic.org. All right. I guess let's start off with, can you give us a little bit of background? King Career Center has been around as an institution in our community for quite some time. Can you talk about its origins, why it started, and what role it's played with the school district?
Sure. We opened in 1973, so 44 years of outstanding achievement, I think, at King Career Center. Opened actually as the Career Center. And then in 1989, changed the name to the Martin Luther King Jr. Career Center to honor Dr. King. And we have been, for these 44 years, what's called a shared school. None of our students attend King Career Center full-time, nor are we an accredited high school where students graduate. All of our students will graduate from their home high school. So we've had a variety of different technical and vocational programs that have been offered over those 44 years, and one of our obligations is to stay current with industry needs and to assess our programs and make sure that they're viable, make sure we have advisory boards that are analyzing what we do and evaluating and giving us, well, the advice that we need to move forward to prepare young people. And Yeah, we feel like we can do better. And with our current administration superintendent, who is supportive and encouraging, and she'll give a directive for continuous improvement, and we know we can do better. We can reach more students. We can do a better job preparing them for post-secondary, whether that be technical school, university, apprenticeships, or directly into the workforce. We know we can do that better than we have, even saying with confidence that it has been a wildly successful school for 44 years. In fact, if I could, Prentice, when I moved to King Career Center from Service High School in 2011, I didn't know how good of a school it was. But my eyes opened. And when you see young people engaged with expert teachers, who almost all of whom come directly from industry, it's magical, because the teachers have been where students want to go. And I always tell groups that I was a pretty good English teacher. I taught for 10 years, but I'm not an author, and I'm not a journalist. I'm not a poet. But the teachers at King Career Center / King Tech have been there. And that student engagement rises when they connect. And they have the industry expertise, and they have the compassion for young people, and the desire to put in front of them really high standards and have them live up to those standards. It's really impressive, and it's a privilege for me to work there and to watch that magic happen.
It sounds impressive. One of the things that I know right now, our budgets are tight, and people are looking to kind of cut services that aren't considered necessary. And in that environment, you guys have moved to a full-time school starting, I understand, in the fall of 2018. So I guess from a community standpoint, what was the need that was identified as far as moving from a sort of an outside part of schools, a service component, to this full-time approach?
Well, I need to give credit where it's due. The superintendent saw an opportunity here for us to deliver technical education in a better fashion than we have, and at the same time doing it at no additional cost to the district. So career and technical education is by nature expensive. It's more expensive than putting 35 students in a classroom and standing and delivering, and doesn't require a deep investment in equipment in those traditional senses. But in career and technical education, we have, for safety reasons, we have to have a smaller class sizes. Our equipment costs money. It takes more space. It's it is spendy. But when we convert to a school, we will get state funding as an accredited school. So the revenue that's generated by us becoming a school will offset the increased costs of us delivering a hybrid model, if you will. And I say hybrid because I want to make clear that we are not changing what we've done so well for 44 years, and that is allow students to come from across the district, from every school, to take half their school day at King Tech. They'll still be able to do that. But for a fortunate 300 students, they'll be able to come in and design their own personalized learning plan, have expert career and technical education delivered to them while having a mentor who guides them through graduation requirements and through their career pathways, what comes next, and connects them to industry and helps them get the internships before they leave high school so they can experience the workforce and the work world before they leave.
So. Okay, so the component will remain that has always been, where people can attend their home schools and attend King Career Center in the afternoon session or the morning session, correct? And their junior and senior year, is that how that works?
That's correct. We have a smattering, if you will, of sophomores at King Career Center, but space limitations require us, and professionally, I would say that developmentally, it's in a school appropriate for 11th and 12th graders mostly, but space is the big thing. We want to have robust career and technical education classes in all of our high schools and all of our middle schools to get students prepared for whatever comes next, whether it's King Tech or the university after high school or whatever it is. We believe more students will be engaged in their schooling if they have real-world experiences in career and technical education starting in 7th grade. 6th grade even, and getting their hands dirty, as it were. So, yeah.
So how does the new school, talk about the changes for the 300, you said. Mm-hmm. How is that different from what you already have set up?
Well, they'll be with us all day, and they'll take their half day of career and technical education, their King Tech class, if you will, the technical class, whether it's in medical fields or in the trades, in transportation, in IT, in aviation, whatever they choose to take, whatever path that they are preparing themselves for, they'll do that for half day. The other half of the day, they will design, A, how to meet their graduation requirements, and B, how to make their schooling, the rest of their schooling day, relevant to where they want to go. And that will look different for every kid. And we'll have mentors for groups of 30 to 40 students. Right now, counselors have caseloads at high schools approaching 500 students, and they can't give them that personalized time. We'll have a 30 to 40 to 1 ratio of students to their guides, if you will. We'll utilize businesses and industry and volunteers. We're developing a really strong relationship with Rotarians across the city who are eager to help us help young people. So how is their day going to look? It's going to look different for every kid. And we're hoping to use concurrent enrollment with the university. Potentially, there'll be single class enrollments for some of our students at high schools if there's a particular class, music class early in the day that they want to take, for instance, or a JROTC class that they want to stay involved in, take that and then return to King Tech for the rest of the day. But they will be our student and graduate from King Tech.
That just popped into my head another question. What about sports activities, after school clubs? Does that change for the full-time students? Because I assume you guys aren't going to have a soccer team and a hockey team.
Right. Good assumption. We won't be able to field teams, if you will, but every student will be able to continue participating in their home school and their school of eligibility. Wherever they're playing now, they can continue. We will have career and technical student organizations for almost all of our classes. Those are the clubs, if you will, but there's competitions and leadership conferences for these CTSOs. And aside, I guess, are related. We participate right now in Skills USA, which is a national and international competition. Just 2 years ago, our commercial baker won the state competition, traveled to Louisville, won the national competition.
Wow.
And then just returned this fall. She got to compete in the World Skills competition in Abu Dhabi, where she placed 12th in the world as a commercial baker. And her name is Jordan Baker. And her instructor at KCC is Chef Kelly Puff. So I think she was destined to become. So we'll have clubs. Our students will participate in sports. I did fail to mention part of a student's day will be online education as well. They'll be taking some classes online. We feel it's a online learning is ubiquitous. It's something that every student should know how to do well, and we're going to have all of our students take at least one course online.
And that's because of the movement towards technology, and a lot of colleges are going to doing online classes. Mm-hmm. I've noticed UAA, a lot of the kids complain that they don't actually have a teacher. They just get to go on Blackboard and copy stuff and take notes. Mm-hmm. All right. I guess one of the things that really kind of made this idea for a conversation in my head was just the struggles that I have seen young people have academically, kids who just aren't into school. They don't fit into the, you know, this traditional sit and pay attention and take notes and then give back information. A lot of kids learn by doing. And so when I heard that King Career Center was going full time, I thought, and parents were asking me in my office, well, what does this mean? Is this be right for my kid? I said, I don't know. I guess I should probably have somebody on to talk about that. So what is your experience? I mean, you've been doing this for many, many years in this state. There's a lot of kids that are falling through the cracks. I mean, our graduation rate is at
81%.
81, it's yeah. up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. 81%, and I read somewhere the goal is 90% fairly soon. And is this seen as a way to support kids who are learning in different styles, or what is the purpose and the function of building this and expanding it to a more inclusive, you know, to add more kids?
That's a pretty complex question. I'll mm-hmm. answer it several different ways, Prentice. The ills of public education are many. And the reasons for those ills are many. We have more students in poverty than ever before, more students who come from families that do not have an educational background that helps their children navigate through the system and supports them. We know that if we can engage students at a younger age, they'll be both physically present, and they will be engaged in their and attentive in their classes. The graduation rate at 81%, 81.4, I believe, for the district, it is trending up, and we're going to get to that 90. The graduation rate for students who what we call are concentrators in career and technical education in the district, that means they've taken at least 2 full credits in their high school year in the same pathway, is 92.4% today. Mm. So students who have an idea of what they want to do when they get out of high school are performing at a much higher rate. And that just makes sense. And you mentioned also that people are asking you, would this be right for my kid? King Tech is right for every kid. My children, when I found out what was offered and delivered at KCC, attended KCC. Had I not gone there, I don't know that I would have pushed that, insisted, offered that opportunity to them, but they thrived. I believe that a diploma from King Tech will give a competitive advantage for whatever your post-secondary aspirations are. I'm not trying to compete or disparage any other program, because all of our programs are strong and getting stronger in the district. I believe that sincerely. Our attention to continuous improvement and our commitment to continuous improvement is unfailing. I work in a profession of people who sacrifice and who are committed to our community and young people, and I'm proud to be in the profession. We have a lot of challenges, but I do believe King Tech is an answer for any type of learner, because as you said, if you do as well as receive information, if you practice those skills, you're going to learn more deeply and you're going to be inspired. Some young people will find out that what they're studying isn't what they want to pursue after high school, and that's okay. We're going to have off-ramps and on-ramps at King Tech, so students can discover that, you know, I thought I wanted to pursue this, but Mr. P or whomever, I'm not so sure now. And is it too late to change paths? It won't be. You know, at some point, they're going to be on the cusp of graduation, and if they've decided they haven't found, then they're going to have to keep exploring. But most of our students are going to walk across the stage, get their diploma, and know the answer to the question, what's next? And I couldn't say that, Prentice. When I got my diploma, I got it, and I stood there for a moment, and I said, now what? Our students will have options, and many, many, many of them, I think a high percentage, will know exactly what's next. So,
I hear that from a lot of kids, and I tell a lot of kids, you don't have to necessarily know what's next, but it certainly helps to have a plan for how you're going to spend the time until you figure it out. Mm-hmm. All right, if you're just tuning in, my guest today is King Career Center Principal Lou Pandolfino. We are discussing why some kids struggle in the traditional high school setting and why vocational high school might be a better choice. If you have questions or comments about today's topic, please don't hesitate to call in or email. You can reach us in three ways. Our local phone number is 550-8433. You can also reach us toll-free from anywhere you might be listening at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to participate is by emailing your questions to lineone@alaskapublic.org. Okay, we have a couple of folks on the phones who've been waiting for a while. So let's go ahead with Rick. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I was a attendee at the King Career Center back in the late 70s. And just wanted to add to the conversation that I now have colleagues that are graduating or that graduated and are now retiring from the careers that they actually learned at the King Career Center or began learning. I did a media program and then a medical program. And the media program helped my family with limited income actually make some money for myself. And the medical certification that I got at 17 and continued with helped pay my way through college. So even though I didn't wind up in those careers, I went into law. But, it was very important at the time. And I remember back then there were actually several schools within the actual footprint of the school there. They had a middle school kind of, I don't know, it was SAVE or SEARCH or some acronym like that. But also a night school and several other things. So I'm pleased to hear the repackaging of the King Career Center. And but back then it was just called the Career Center. So thank you,
Rick. Quick question for you: what kind of fueled your decision to attend King Career Center back in the day?
Well, that's actually probably good for any of the young listeners or parents of students. So I was a high school dropout at 16. And it was the King Career Center and a counselor that said, hey, maybe you wanted to do half of your day doing this. And that allowed me to get an EMT certification at 17 and continue with an EMT-2 certification to go on to a track to become a paramedic. Unfortunately, the Anchorage Fire Department at the time then shipped everything out to Oregon and hired all their interns in Oregon. But I do know people that started in the same EMT classes and did hang around for a fire academy and started saving lives right there doing internships on ambulances and in hospitals because of where they went to the King Career Center. So me, it was an alternative and it worked out.
All right. Well, sounds like you made the right choice. For yourself, you went on to become a lawyer, so it wasn't just the technical field, but it gave you some skills. If you don't mind me asking, you sound like one of those young people who was sort of disenfranchised with the traditional setting, which a lot of kids are really successful at, but what was the thing that sort of caused you to drop out?
Yeah, several factors, probably, personal ones, coping, but obviously, and additionally, just financial issues. And, for people that didn't have any transportation back in the late 70s, even the people mover system wasn't that great. That you really had to want the King Career Center to do that because you would go to your school early in the morning, because of the bus situation, you'd wake up at O'Dark 100 and get on the the bus and be in school at, I don't know, some ungodly time. And then you would sit and get onto another bus and go to the career center. So it was like a transfer on a bus system. So you kind of had to want that. And if people are going to go to the King Career Center all day, maybe they could just be, I don't know how you could how you get them there more efficiently. But yeah, a lot of time was spent on buses.
All right, well, thanks. Oh,
I might add that I did return to the King Career Center a couple of years ago to assist an instructor there, and wound up going down to the food program. It was never a one for bread pudding until I tasted the bread pudding made by that class, and now it's God's own food is what it is, and excellent program.
All right, well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate the call. Lou?
I just wanted to thank you, Rick, for that testimonial. We're really proud of the way students turn it around when they get to King Career Center, and we believe that students who don't need turning around should come in as well. We have a lot to offer there. And I'm going to give Chef Puff the kudos for that bread pudding that you just gave us. I appreciate that.
Outstanding. All the best. Bye.
Thanks, Rick. All right, that was a good call, timely, and I guess perfect for what we're talking about, is a young man who was sort of struggling in the traditional school setting for a lot of reasons, but then found a place and found some fit educationally, which is what I want to get back to and talk about a little bit more after the break. But right now, let's go ahead. Caroline's been on hold for a while. Go ahead, Caroline.
That's fine, thank you. When I was a young person, graduated in 62, so it's been a while, to go to a craft school was seen like you couldn't make it anywhere else, which was really irritating to me because the house I grew up in was built, wired, and plumbed by my father. And so I grew up knowing the value of knowing how to do things and not just college. And I'm wondering if there is a... If the youngsters are getting concerned about making sure they have a profession that's not going to be outmoded, or what's the word I'm looking for, that the robots aren't going to be taking over.
Okay.
And again, I'd like to see more publicity about some of the achievements of the students. I know that the sports kids that have good grades, and I'm happy for that, gets on the air from time to time, but and you might not have enough for one a week within the academic community and the King Career Center to publicize, but it would be nice if it was, you know, just every time somebody does something like that young woman did, to have some publicity surrounding it. The school board, the school district, rather, has people that work in that area. So it was a shock when I'm hearing about the accomplishments of that person. And I sure as heck would go to any restaurant where she was cooking. My mother's bread pudding was good, but I'd like to compare it to something.
All right. Well, thanks, Caroline. Those are great comments. Lou, you want to?
Yeah, I did want to echo, Caroline, that sports achievements get recognized in media much more than academic or technical achievements. But I did want to say that we have stolen a model of scholarship signings when students get signed to universities for football or basketball or hockey or what have you, and they have media come and there's a cake cutting in the library. We have unashamedly stolen that model, and when we sign our students into apprenticeship programs with both union and non-union apprenticeship outfits, we invite the media, we have a big to-do, we have a cake cutting ceremony and a signing ceremony where they actually sign on to their apprenticeships. So we know we have to do better with outreach and communication. It's a it's an uphill battle. We have a lot of competing news to that obstructs getting the word out, but we're getting there. I appreciate that comment, Caroline.
All right. I guess we're sort of up against it, so we're going to go ahead and take the halfway break in our show. If you have a question for Lou or a comment about today's topic, please don't hesitate to call in or email. Our local phone number is 550-8433. You can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to reach us is to email your questions or comments to lineone@alaskapublic.org. After this short break, we'll return to our conversation with Lou Pandolfino. I'm Prentice Pemberton.
You're listening to Line One from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Line One on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Line One, your health connection on KSKA Anchorage. I'm your co-host, Prentice Pemberton. If you're just tuning in to the program today, my guest is King Career Center Principal Lou Pandolfino. We are discussing why some kids struggle in the transition or in the traditional high school setting and why vocational high school might be a better option for some. If you missed part of today's conversation, you can catch the rebroadcast of Line One tonight at 8. You can listen to it on our podcast, or you can find it along with all of our past programs in our library of archive shows. You just go to alaskapublic.org homepage, click on the radio tab, and scroll down to Line One, and there you'll find hundreds of shows that Dr. Woodard has done over the years and shows that I've done, so on just about every topic. So we want to remind folks to please call in with your questions or comments for Lou if you have a question for him or a comment about vocational rehab or an experience. We had some good calls at the start, the first half of the show, so we like hearing from you. Our local phone number is 550-8433, or you can reach us toll-free at 1-888-353-5752. And the last way to get on the air is to email your questions to lineone@alaskapublic.org. Please remember the show repeats tonight at 8. If you're listening then, you'll be hearing a rebroadcast, and we will not be able to answer phone calls. All right, one of our, Caroline mentioned at the beginning of her call that, that you go to a school, you get sort of a stigma or, King Career Center. Somebody else mentioned SAVE, Benny Benson. There's a lot of different types of schools in the Anchorage School District. Some of them are charter schools, and some of them are optional schools. And can you explain to the listeners what the difference is between charter schools and optional schools? Just real briefly, I know you're not, you don't run those other schools, but what's the difference between charter and optional?
Well, optional schools are fully part of the Anchorage School District. Charter schools are as well, but they have their own governance board that makes decisions in hiring and are not as tied to some of the requirements of the Anchorage School District schools. Optional schools are required. I guess that's the basic difference, the governance, if you will.
All right. Now, the optional schools, there's a lottery program, and one of the things, we want to get away from is thinking of these optional schools or charter schools as sort of a last resort, a place for the kids who are not going to make it or the, troubled kids, so to speak. That's not the case for King Career Center. This is an accredited school, and while many of the kids may not fit in the traditional school district, can you talk a little bit about learning styles and why it's so important to find that right fit?
Sure. And just a clarification, we will be accredited next year as King Tech High School. Not yet there. We do have a stigma that vocational education is for those kids who can't cut it or who aren't college material. And that's, that couldn't be farther from the truth. The rigor in the classes at King Career Center is every bit as equal to the rigor that you'll find in traditional high schools. It's a different delivery style. We have probably a different mission in that we are preparing intentionally for post-secondary, for entry-level career positions, and for post-secondary training and education intentionally aligned to the program that our students are studying. So that's going to look different. If we have a student in our vet assisting class, they are preparing for high school graduation and then earning their vet tech or potentially going on to veterinary science school after they earn a bio degree. We have a couple students at Fairbanks right now, a couple at UAA getting their undergraduates in bio who plan to get their degree in DMV. It's for all students. It is true that students struggle for a variety of reasons, and part of that is they haven't fit in and they haven't found what engages them, and they find that when they walk in our doors and they turn it around. That's true. But it's equally as true that the student who has a history of success in schooling is right and appropriate and will excel at King Tech High School. So it is the spectrum. We are not an elitist school. We are not looking only for the top.
Right.
We have admissions criteria for King Tech full-time, but if students don't meet the admissions criteria, there is a get-in way for them, and that's through interviewing with the committee and explaining why they haven't had success in their past schooling, why they haven't attended regularly, and why they're behind in credits, and a commitment from them to turn it around, and a desire, you know, that they can show to us that they want to be at King Tech High School, and they'll be in, despite their history. So it is lottery, as you mentioned.
Right.
We have spots for 300. The lottery is open until March 22nd. The drawing is on the 23rd. Students and parents are signing up for that lottery daily. I'm not sure of the numbers right now, but they're getting up there, and we're real excited about the interest that's been shown so far.
I was going to ask, what are the chances if you have an interest in your kid getting in? Do you expect you're going to have 500 or 600 applications, or is it going to be pretty competitive, or do you not have any idea in this first round?
The latter. Don't have
okay.
any idea. We're going to a lottery because we don't want to get caught with too much interest and then have to try to explain that away. There are about, I think, between 6,000 and 6,500 juniors and seniors in the Anchorage School District. If we have spaces for 300 and roughly 5%, then I think we're going to get to that 300 without too much trouble, especially if people understand what we plan to offer. We have our showcase events twice a month. Next one actually is tomorrow night
okay.
at KCC 6 to 8, where there's a presentation and then students can visit almost all of our classes. Almost all of our teachers will be there tomorrow night from 6 to 8. Get an overall presentation from 6 to 6:30 and then visit two or three classes from 6:30 to 8. So, and then we're going to have labs open for students to go ahead and parents to go ahead and apply right online, right there on site.
All right, let's go ahead and go back to the phones. Jeanette, you're on line one. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I am around about 50 years old, and when I was in high school, I remember taking a sewing class in home ec right next to the vocational tech school, and I was so interested in it because they were doing so many fun things. But at that point, I was basically just told not to even try to get into it because, you know, girls just didn't do that. And by way of time, I basically got into theater electrician. Then I ended up getting extremely interested in aircraft, and then I joined the military, and then I'm now an aircraft electrician. And it's been a phenomenal career for me. And I'm wondering, what is your outreach to young women? I know that Women in the Trades is out there, and I know the trades are actively out seeking more women girls to get into the field. And so what is the KCC's outreach to young women going to be, and what are you guys doing, if anything, at this point? What are your plans? And then I'll take my answer offline.
Well, thanks a lot for the call, Jeanette. Go ahead, Lou. That's a great question.
It is a great question, Jeanette, and we call them NTOs, non-traditional occupations, and we need, frankly, people like you. We need you into our school, and we need you to visit our comprehensive high schools and talk to young women about the opportunities. We, you know, matching aptitude and interest. We know that aptitude is cross-gender. We'll go, you know, men and women will have an equal aptitude for certain career tracks. Interest is trying to match those two up. What's the interest? What's the aptitude? If you go into our cosmetology program, you're going to see 95% female. If you go into our CNA, PCA class, you're going to see 95% female. You're going to see 95% male in our high bay trades classes, construction, transportation. And we recognize it, and I'm frankly a little discouraged by it, but not defeated. And when we hear from people like Jeanette, we know that there are endless possibilities, and we have to get the word out better to young people. Do we have a plan, a clear plan on how to do that? No. But we are, it is on our plate, and it's in front of us every day, and no doors close for young women in traditionally male professions, or nor young men in traditionally female professions at King Tech High. So we need your help.
All right. Can you talk a little bit about, I know in other parts of the world, they tend to, there's certain countries that channel young people at a certain age based on the aptitude that you mentioned. Jeanette sounds like she is somebody who would have benefited greatly from King Tech to go into aviation technology, and that was right up her alley, and she had to go a different route. But so are we moving towards that at all in our country instead of this one size fits all? Because I know my brain is not a high school college brain. I just had to do it because I wanted to be a therapist, and my grades didn't get good until I got into psychology. It was a struggle the rest of the time because I didn't have much interest in geometry or you know, physics, that stuff. It was philosophy and psychology that were interesting to me. If they had had a psychology tech school, I would have gone to that. I could have done that and missed all that other stuff. So are we moving towards that a little bit and understanding that education, there's certain brains that just, they work much better in a different environment. Mm-hmm. And it's not kids that can't hack it, because I've noticed that the kids that excel in traditional schools and colleges, you put them in a career field or a technical field and they would just fall apart.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. That's my answer. I hope we move towards a model that's offered in Finland or Singapore, where students in 9th, 10th grade get to choose the track that they want to go on. And it is a choice. It's aptitude plus interest. And if we can't get there nationally, I hope we can get there statewide. I served on the Governor's Alaska Education Commission beginning in April. We met 7 or 8 times and brought forward to the Department of Education and Early Childhood Development some recommendations. And we're in the process of seeing if they're adopted. But one of those was to adopt a CTE diploma, if you will, for students who have an aptitude for technical skills.
What is that?
Career and Technical Education Diploma.
CTE.
Equally as rigorous as an academic diploma, but a different set of requirements. Students would take more courses in CTE, Career Technical Education, in a pathway of choice, and fewer courses that are currently required for a high school diploma in the state of Alaska in some of the academic arenas. It's not dumbing down. It is matching the aptitude and acumen and interest to a young person's career hopes. And we believe it's a key in the solution to public education, if in fact we can admit there are problems, and there are. So I hope so. If we can't do it on a state level, I hope we can do it on a local level. And I've had discussions with the superintendent about potentially adjusting some of the requirements, at least in the Anchorage School District, which are greater than what's required for a state of Alaska diploma. So I hope we get there.
It just it doesn't make sense to me to try to fit everybody into the same model educationally. And I've seen young people, and you know, it seems to happen. Kids, young people go through elementary school and then they hit middle school. And by the time high school hits, you could have kids who are really disenfranchised with the whole educational system. They get depressed, self-harm. They don't care anymore. And they sort of get lost. And I guess I'd like for you to speak just to what you see when kids start to light back up, if you get them in the right mm-hmm. environment.
A number of things, Prentice. Well, one is you don't compromise high expectations. You know, every young person wants to be challenged, and they want to be valued, and they want to achieve at a very high level. And so you don't compromise those expectations. I think you're right. There's so many young people who get disenfranchised in middle school and have already self-identified that they will go to a credit recovery school, a SAVE or a Benson, to earn their diploma. Maybe their older brothers and sisters found success that way, and that's what they've already predetermined that they're going to do. If they come to any classroom, if they come to King Tech, I can speak to, but if they come to any classroom and they're challenged and valued, students are more apt to be engaged and achieve at a high level. So we don't lower standards. In fact, we're raising standards. Might sound counterintuitive, but we turn off all personal devices during instructional time at a technical school at KCC. We need students to learn how to engage and team with each other and their teachers. That's what industry tells us, that young people and a lot of us from my generation are so addicted to technology and personal devices that they don't interact well, and they're not good team members. And our industries say we need someone who's reliable, going to come on a regular basis, and they're going to look presentable, and they're going to be engaged with others, and be those who really know how to interact with people. So we turn off personal devices. We have an appearance requirement that students need to be presentable, and every single school day they need to be presentable. That means no Spartan sags if you're a young man, and no low cut inappropriate clothing if you're a young lady. And then we ask them on Wednesdays to dress professionally. So, and we help them. We have wardrobe closets, and it looks a little different depending on the pathway that they're engaged in, what that professional dress will look like. But every student on Wednesdays is to look professional at King Career Center / King Tech.
So you have pulled off what so many other schools would like to pull off, which is device-free time. That just brings me to a whole nother conversation. How do you do that? Because so many of these young folks today are wired in, and they're coming from schools where maybe the teachers kind of let it slide because they're tired of fighting it. That's just the expectation from the beginning, huh?
Yeah, it was a couple of answers to that question. One, I got to admit right away, we're a school of choice, so students right. don't have to be there. If they don't want to live up to those basic expectations, they can opt out and go back to their home schools. Neighborhood schools don't have that option, so the challenge is greater there. But what it takes is a unified will by the staff. It can't be top down. It can't be the sheriff wants this done.
Right.
So that's why we're doing it. There can't be this creative disobedience or turning your head to something. Everybody has to be on the same page. And if everyone will agree to be on the same page, if they can agree to the philosophical reasoning behind the policies and have those discussions with the young people when they say, what the heck is this all about? Why can't I wear my hat? Why can't I have my earbuds in? Why can't I sport a sag? Why can't I do these things? If people are willing to take the time unified on a faculty and staff, then it will get done. But it will not get done unless that happens, because if it's the principal says that I have to make you take your hat off, then it's not going to work.
Right, you don't just have a principal walking up and down the halls, get your hat off. It's an engagement of students and faculty, teachers, parents, really in like creating a school culture.
It is. It's creating that culture. And you know what? Students like it when those boundaries are set. And they thank us. And we thank them right back for buying in and understanding. And I thank them when they're angry about a policy and they want to come in and rant and rave, and then we sit down at the table and we talk it through. And we don't make rules for the sake of rules. We don't enforce rules just because We have nothing else to do with our time, believe me.
That's what the manual says, so yeah. we have to.
Yeah. No, we don't do that. Everything is done thoughtfully and for purpose and with advice from industry and from post-secondary who meet with us and look at our curriculums, look at our equipment, talk to us about our delivery and say, this is what you need to do to prepare people for our industries. So,
yeah, I saw a little article about Google and Microsoft going to a lot of device-free times for their, when they get together for their social times or for group meetings, they have a device-free time. Everybody puts their checks in their phones when they go into a conference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I think if you start having these conversations with kids and pull them in and explain it to them. I mean, young people today, it seems like a lot of young people really want an explanation. It doesn't work to just say, because I'm your parent or I'm your teacher and I said so.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I just think that's a human nature that we should take time to explain things. I don't know any good parent who just makes a rule and doesn't explain and doesn't take time with their child to explain things. I don't know that. I don't see it happening. That's not the way I practice parenting, and I'm a flawed parent, but generally I have wonderful children who are successful. So, but taking time is important, and I don't know whether it's kids these days or not, but I don't disagree with that ask of them. If they want to know why, I am happy to talk with them about it.
Yeah, I think there's been a bit of a cultural shift, and kids really do, young people today really do feel like they should be included in the conversations, and that they have that, you know, they're more empowered. I think generationally, maybe it shifted from that, like, be seen and not heard sort of mentality that mm-hmm. was happening in the sort of authoritarian kind of parenting. And now it's a little bit more participatory. And it sounds like that's what you guys are trying to do at King Career Center is empower. You want empowered learners, right? Kids that are really motivated and bought into the system. And it sounds very individualized. Which is unique and cool.
Yeah, it is. It is cool. I hope it's not unique. I hope we're moving in a direction where the engagement, learning is engagement. So that's the process. And maybe the generational shift has become because my generation had to spend when I was a young person, I had to spend all my time on long division, and these kids don't have to, you know. So now they have more time and they're asking more questions.
Yeah, and we've learned how much we really need long division now, right? And geometry. Although I did watch some carpenters frame a house, and they were just yelling numbers out and angles, and they were remarkable.
Yeah,
and they knew
math. Yeah, yeah.
They knew a lot of math.
And certainly we don't want to offend any of our great math mathematicians out there, nor our math teachers there. And I'm not. I agree. I was a carpenter, and I needed to know the Pythagorean theorem.
It's important.
Yeah.
All right. I got an email I'd like to read. It says, can you discuss any relationships you may have developed with various trade associations across the state?
Yeah. Yeah. Both union and non-union. We have agreements. We are pre-apprenticeship school for our IBEW laborers, for plumbers, pipe fitters, for sheet metal, for carpenters. And those associations come in and talk to our students early on in the year, and they give us a forecast of how many spots they might have. And depending on the economic forecast, they may be able to take up to 5 or 6 of our highest achieving students direct entry into those apprenticeship programs. At the very least, they have agreed to direct interview. And that means that even if they don't have spots open for students right out of high school, they will direct interview and get them on the list, especially if they are impressive and have done what they need to do. We also have relationships with non-unions, GCI, ACS, and NC Machinery comes to mind. We have relationships with medical professionals for our young people as well. And we reach out. It's part of our teacher's responsibility and ours, administrators, our entire staff, to have relationships with industry. And we keep close eye on economics and our industry trends, so we make sure we're not offering something that isn't viable out there. One other thing that I guess I wanted to mention, talking to state economists, one piece of data that I think is relevant is that 85% of all jobs in Alaska, and granted, not all of them are living wage jobs, but 85% do not require a bachelor's nor an advanced degree. There are many, many jobs that associate's degrees, technical school, apprenticeships, prepare students for very lucrative and successful careers. So this idea that every kid, and when I was growing up, that's what it was. Every kid needs at least a bachelor's degree. I think that's old school.
It seems like it's more and more old school. I hear a lot of people with college degrees saying, I got nothing to do, and they're working in the technical field because they did something in high school, or they were a carpenter or worked for a painter. I've also read recently that we have a lot of college graduates and not many people with skills to work in the trades.
And I've heard also that a large percentage of students who are attending technical schools or community colleges across the nation have bachelor's or advanced degrees, and they're going back to get employable skills. So,
just having a bunch of academic background is not necessarily a avenue for success.
I have to qualify, because I think if everyone can afford it, I think a bachelor's degree should be something that everybody shoots for. It's simply, I'm saying, it's not necessary for a successful life for every person to have a bachelor's degree. And the astronomical costs of college education today are daunting for many, many young people. And there is another path to success. And if they can see those paths when they're young, then they're going to be more successful in their public education.
So, I tell young people, you're going to spend a third of your life working, so make sure it's something that you do well, you enjoy, and they'll pay you to do it.
Yeah.
Final thoughts for us? We're just about out of time. So,
it's a privilege to be in the profession of education, and it's a true honor to be in technical education, because it works. And I would encourage anyone who's available at 6 p.m. tomorrow to come to King Career Center for our second showcase evening of the semester.
Sounds good. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much, Lou, for your time. I appreciate it. Please check out the variety of links and information we have about today's topic on our show page. And remember, you can always let us know your thoughts about today's program or share ideas for future topics by emailing us at line1@alaskapublic.org. Well, next week, Dr. Woodard will be talking with Dr. John Medina, author of The Brain Rules for Aging Well, and they will be discussing how to protect our brains as we grow older. Eric Bork handled the web editing for today's program. Dave Waldron was our audio engineer. For all of us at Line One, thanks for taking the time to join us. Till next time, I'm Prentice Pemberton. Have a great day.
Line One is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Line One and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.